Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're here every Tuesday and Friday here at J Train Feather Nation Studios. A full house here. We got Classic Shelb is back. It's a wild scene here. Line out the door this morning.
People are going nuts. It's
really crazy. Love being here at the Feather Nation Studios. Love having Shelby. How you been?
Amazing. In September.
It's fucktember, baby. This is the time of year. People always bring up the summertime as the... No. September, October.
Finally, it's a good temp.
It's a great temperature for fucking. This is the temperature you want. Not too cool, not too hot. A subtle breeze.
Do more fucking.
That's right. As Cat Williams once said,
do more fucking.
These are the months to do that. These are the months. These are the ones where you're going to go out and everyone's stuck in their town. Everyone has a summer house or a beach place to go to. No one has a fall house. Everyone's out there.
Yeah.
Looking to meet people. That's why the J Train Podcast is as important as it's ever been. More instrumental in your life than you ever thought it could be.
It's vital.
Vital. The air to which you breathe is the J Train Podcast. And I'm here. The Wizard.
Hello.
The Wizard of Weddings. The Sultan of Swipes. Prince of Promos. The Master of Moms.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz.
The Titan of Taglines.
Titan of Taglines. The Papal of Posters.
Mm-hmm.
Every Tuesday and Friday. And you got to tell a friend. Tell a friend, 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 tell a friend, 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 tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, 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 tell a friend, tell a friend, friend, friend. You got to do it.
Yep.
That's how we grow. That's what keeps me going. And whenever you guys make it your Instagram story, oh my God, does that feel good? It's, you know what it feels like? It feels like I'm wading out into a dewy forest.
Mm-hmm.
It's dewy. I'm walking out and I take my t-shirt off. So I'm shirtless. I got pants on. And then it gets dewier as I move into the forest.
Okay.
And at a certain point, I go, you know what? It's fucktember. I should take off these itchy pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I take off the pants, and it's just me in my underwear. And then all of a sudden, there's a little hummingbird going up against a flower. And the hummingbird is sipping some of that juice out of the flower.
Some hot nectar.
A little hot nectar. And then I come over, I take off my underwear, and I take my balls and I push them back on the backside of my legs. So I hold my legs tight with my balls coming out the behind.
Okay.
And I bend over and I have the hummingbird just buzz, buzz, buzz its wings against my nuts.
Mm.
That's what it feels like when you guys make it your Instagram story. A little hummingbird on a dewy day, feathering my nuts with its quick wings.
I hate to say it, it was kind of cool.
Kind of cool. Very excited about today's guest. An OKP, a dear friend, a fop, friend of the pod. James Mad Dog Madden. James
Madden. What up, baby?
What a pleasure it is.
Oh, my goodness, sir. I mean,
so good to have you back.
To see you cut that promo.
That's right, man.
Up front. Are you kidding me?
We push it hard in the front.
I will run through a wall right now.
That's right.
You should coach football.
You would hummingbird right into that wall.
I am a hummingbird now.
You're a hummingbird.
We're all hummingbirds now.
I'm very excited to have James on because he's a good friend and a fucking hilarious comic that... If you don't follow already, you need to right now, at James L. Mattern. And Mr. Mattern has his debut comedy album out right now.
That's right, baby.
Woo!
That's exactly the sound you will be making as you listen to it.
I agree. I've listened to the album. It's fantastic. It's called No Segways.
Not a single one on it,
baby. If you want to, this audience, we're not like in that nerd comedy world.
Okay.
This audience is, you know, I don't get artwork made of my show from listeners. There's a lot of podcasts out there. They go 1 week and then all of a sudden they have one big fat nerd
hilarious
making an artist rendering of their face to make a poster with, and you're like, how did that happen? This audience, we have a huge audience, right, Shelby?
Massive.
And not once have I had a painting made of me hosting the podcast like I matter. That's not the type of audience we have. We have fun, awesome individuals who go out, party, want to be successful, forward-thinking people, okay? But they don't really dance in the waters of the stand-up world. But that's why I like to push people here, because right now you should pause the podcast, go on Apple iTunes, go on Spotify, go on Stitcher. You just search James Matter.
That's it.
No segues. It's going to come up, and that is a fun little trip away from podcast land to now a stand-up land where you can listen to a full album. It feels like you're in the room without having to go out of your house, and you can hear the laughter of the crowd. You can hear the drinks clinking. That's what it's all about with a stand-up album. And where did you tape it? What's your experience?
I am the first album ever at New York Comedy Club's second location on 4th Street. It used to be a club before that. I always loved that place. They took over the space. Yep. I got dibs. And they said the dibs is there, baby.
I love it. And I love the way I'm the first ever album there. At the second location.
Their second location.
At 4 o'clock on a Tuesday.
I'm specific.
Ever. Yeah. You did it.
With two bags of Kit Kats in the green room. I brought them to calm myself down.
Now, but that's an amazing thing, because the New York Comedy Club, that's a place that we both perform. I love that club. New York Comedy Club on 4th Street is their new location. And you did the first album there, and it was a fun experience. Everything was great.
It was a delight. It kept getting delayed because this is how good they are. One of the owners, there's Emilio and there's Scott. Scott is a musician and an engineer, and he owns a studio, musical studio.
So he understands the sound game.
He was...
Him and Shelby could have a long talk.
Let's put them in a room together.
None of us would want to hear.
Oh, yeah, but it'll be a good time. We'll just let them do their thing.
That's a podcast no one wants.
Yeah.
Sound with Shelby.
But he kept trying to make it perfect.
Working the levels with Shelby.
Oh, that's a good one right there.
There it is. Write it down.
Yeah, let's do it in Dolby. Is that still a thing? Is Dolby even still a thing?
I'm okay with that.
Is there still Dolby sound?
Not in podcasts.
No.
Well, let's do it.
We got to create, maybe we should create a name for certain sounds like Dolby. We need a Shelby sound.
Ooh, buddy. That's a good task.
That's the Shelby.
That is the Shelby.
So you
but
delayed
it? But the sound's
it?
Perfect because he wanted to be perfect. I can hear fillings move when people laugh in the album.
That's why
you do it.
This is the thing. With an album, you want to close your eyes and feel like you're in the comedy club. And that's why, because a stand-up album is so different from a music album, because a music album, in the booth, they're singing, it's perfect. A stand-up album is perfect in its imperfection.
Exactly.
You know, and you're sitting and you're hearing what gets laughs, what doesn't get laughs, the subtle pauses. It's a fun experience.
I love it, man. And
it's called No Segways. Why?
Because I goddamn don't have any. So I have just, no attention span.
Just joke to joke.
I was gonna call it something else.
Yeah.
Initially from the jump.
What
and then I listened to I was gonna call it House Money.
Okay.
And then I listened to it and I go, ain't a goddamn thing about this House Money. But I talk about how my lack of segues is there and that the effort I even acknowledge it in the record that I'm a host and a warm up comic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's rare that I get to do a full set, and I'm winking at everyone, even though it's not on camera,
discussing it.
And so it is weird for me to go, hey, I just brought this up. That's weird, huh?
Yeah.
Because I don't usually know how to do
it. Because that when you're hosting, you have to constantly go up and go, hey, remember Tuesday?
Yeah.
You know, like you have to bring everything back to normalcy. Someone just went on stage. They got done being like, and I came in her mouth. And everyone goes, ah! Good night, everybody. And then you come on, give it up for Mouthcomer.
Mouthcomer. And then, he's having a great year. He's taking his act to the next level.
He's on the rise. And then you come on. And you got to reset the room.
Yeah.
To get it ready for, you know,
a girl looks like a librarian who whispers on stage.
Librarian
yeah.
tits.
Yeah.
So you got to come on.
She's not having as good a year as Mouthcomer.
No, no,
but
no.
I mean,
Mouthcomer's doing well.
We'll get there.
But library tits has to come up. And you got to go up and go, how are we doing? Are we okay? Give it up for the wait staff. All right. Yo, do you guys remember that time when the guy got blankety, you know, remember that time the guy lost his foot on Tinder? And you're like, and everyone goes, oh, I don't know. You know. So you're coming up. You're coming up. In, you know, rough waters.
It's rough waters.
And that's why you gotta, that's, you know, I can understand where you're like, well, listen, these are the jokes I prepared from coming up after Mouthcomer.
Years after Mouthcomer. Can I just say this, J Train? If
sure.
we would have done this 2 weeks ago, I would have made my fantasy football team name Librarian Tits. I mean, it's way better than Cracked Open and Cleaned Out. Librarian Tits would definitely take the cup this year.
It's a great name. I'm pumped you're here.
I'm honored.
Everyone,
thank you
go
for me.
Follow James at James L. Mattern on Instagram. Go follow the album, No Segways. Literally, you can go right now, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to music, you can find an album. You just type in James Mattern. It's going to pop up. If you're on Spotify, all that stuff.
It's there, baby.
It's all there. Fantastic. James is fucking hilarious. You got the J Train stamp of approval.
Choo choo.
Right there.
I love it, baby.
Listen, we're going to do some emails. I want to get through the mailbox because you're an OKP. You get the show. If you want to come see me.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop you.
What's that?
You've been doing a lot lately.
I have.
You've been all over the country.
Yeah, that's right.
You've been in multiple countries.
Multiple countries. Multiple countries.
At the same time.
The same time. I had my one leg on Windsor, one leg on Detroit.
And for 7 episodes, I wasn't even here.
I know. We missed you.
You must be exhausted today.
I am exhausted.
So I think today we should let somebody else do your plugs.
Oh, please. I would love that. This is... Shelby always has something up his sleeves. Man, and I'm waiting. You know, this person might be behind my front door right now at Feather Nation Studios. I'm wondering who's going to walk through that door.
Fix your eyes to this screen here.
Okay.
Hey, this is Ben Higgins here, and I want to let you know that Jared will be coming to do stand-up in the following cities. Appleton, Wisconsin on 10-3 through
Ben 10-5. Higgins!
And on the U Up Tour in Miami, Florida on 10-10, Orlando, Florida on 10-11, Atlanta, Georgia on 10-12, and Nashville on 10-13.
Ben!
Well, Jared, best of luck, man.
Thanks, Ben Higgins. Wow, what
That's
an
terrific.
Appearance. What? A guest appearance.
This is wonderful. Mm-hmm.
This is unbelievable.
It is.
Shelby, how'd you get Ben Higgins to announce my dates?
I just had to pull. I know there's
pull
been
some strings.
Some Bachelor people. You had Tyler.
And that's the most.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Higgins is the most beloved former Bachelor.
Yeah.
He is.
Wow.
You had Nick Viall.
First Nick Viall. Tyler C.
Everybody's going crazy.
Wow. This is quite a guest appearance.
I gotta get.
What a get.
A get here to let people know.
Holy shit. And Ben knows my dates. Maybe he'll be at the shows.
I hope so.
We'll see. So that's an amazing special guest.
This is terrific.
This is great.
It's
Ben
good to
Higgins.
Be here for
Thank
history.
You, Ben. Appleton, Wisconsin. And then the U Up Tour is coming to Miami and Orlando and Nashville and Atlanta. Go get those tickets. JaredFreed.com. JaredFreed.com. I don't know how you pulled it.
It's been in the works. I had to do it.
Wow, great. Give it up for Classic Shelb. I mean, this is unbelievable. So thank you. Let's do the emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're here with James Mattern at James L. Mattern. General breakup tips and advice.
Ooh.
J-Train Classic Shelf, love the podcast, really recently started listening, and it's really helped me through relationship anxiety, breakup, dating, etc. Very simple and perhaps general question here, but I don't think it's been addressed this far in your podcast, at least not directly and as a topic on its own. What are your top tips for dealing with a breakup? Specifically, a breakup that seemed a bit out of the blue was and wasn't really mutual, though ended with a mature conversation without anger. Dealing with this now, was recently broken up with, and though I'm comfortable recognizing it just wasn't the match, it's still tough to deal with, especially since there's nothing to be angry about. It just didn't work out. I've always found that these types of breakups are harder than the ones that end in anger. I totally agree. I'd much rather walk in on someone, like on my girlfriend fucking another dude, than her going to me, I just don't know. It doesn't feel right. Because at least with the fucking another dude, you go, yeah, that I hate that person, they're out.
It gives you something to rally against.
Exactly. It gives you something to go, as good as it was, nothing was as bad as that moment.
Yes. And you can convince yourself, I shouldn't be upset.
Yeah, yeah.
They fucked up. They don't deserve me.
Exactly.
I'm moving on.
When it's mutual and you both go, yeah, I'm just not, like,
it's purgatory.
Yeah.
You're kind of in limbo.
You're in limbo. So she writes, are harder than the ones in anger, as if someone cheats. I've already muted the ex on Instagram and have cut off communication. But other tips might have for getting over the breakup, the fear it may happen again, and getting back out there would be appreciated. For background, I'm in my mid-20s living in NYC, though I think anyone out there would benefit from general advice on the topic, and it seemed like we all go through it at one point or another. Keep doing what you're doing. So what do you think, Mr. Madden?
It's tough.
Do you have any go-to things you do?
I drink a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
And then on the ride home, because I'm probably too sad to even hook up.
Yeah.
Even though it's your goal, but you just become a mope dick and
sure.
You just drink and all
good
that.
Good old mope dick.
I'm mope dick.
Mope dick and library tits hang out on a Saturday night.
This is my fantasy hockey and basketball squads waiting to be named. I listen to sad music and cry when I get home and run around the house. It's interesting.
I think you bring up a good point.
It is so great when you have something to rally against and focus on.
I know.
I keep going back to a girl that I know is not good for me in my head.
Mm.
And I'll text her every once in a while, think what's up. And I realize she's not what I think she is. But I need something in my head to fantasize about. I want you to be upset when I'm not around.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, like, we need something to centralize. So when someone breaks your heart, it's a lot easier than just... Meh.
For sure.
You just don't know, but you know what it was.
You said something that I think could help a lot of people. It's okay to be sad about it. It's okay to...
Tear up a little.
Get a good cry.
Oh, my God.
Listen to some sad music. Go to a friend. Talk to them about it. You get... With your friends, you get like a week. They'll give you a week. After a week... You need to shut the fuck up. Because after that... Like, I know people that, like, you'll be like, how you doing? They're like... Still thinking about, you know, Stacy. And you're like, from 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck. I'm done with you. Go see a therapist.
It's worse. Sometimes they don't even say it that bluntly. They crowbar it in.
Yeah,
you don't see it coming. It's like, so how are you? Things are great.
Yeah,
I worked out.
I worked out. I went to the gym. I used the pull-up machine, because I can't do a full pull-up. And Stacy used to tell me that if I could do a full pull-up, I would be, and then it's like, oh, what? How do we get to Stacy land?
Oh, do you like the Jets this week? Yeah, I'd like the Jets.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like? Is that Stacy and her cousin used to gang up on me and tell me I wasn't good enough. But guess what? I am good enough.
How did we end up here? It's as if you woke up in a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, when your friend, but like you do get the week. And what I would do. Go fucking go to a friend. Be like, hey, can we go get drinks and fucking hang out? I think what people try to do this thing with breakups where they like, oh, this is my own thing. I have to deal with it. Reach out to a friend that you trust to give you the ear.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends don't give you the ear. They're just like, hey, I'm on my phone. I always talk about like when I'm talking about jokes or I'm telling a story. There are certain friends I would never go to with a joke. There are certain friends I would not be like, hey, what do you think of this premise?
Because they're just this? Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they don't even give you anything.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's funny. Well, that wasn't the punchline. Well, it should have been. It should have been.
And then they go, you know what my idea was about this?
Oh, my God.
You don't want that person.
I hate that.
You want to go to the person with the joke, and you tell the joke, and they're laughing through it with you, and they go, and this, and that, and this. You want the friend that you can go to with the breakup, and you're like, and I just don't get it. And then they can go, you know, in my relationship, I got broken up with. Like, I want you to go to someone you would do a podcast with.
Yes.
Go to someone you would have a podcast with and don't start a podcast. Don't be dumped person that goes, this is the show. No. No one wants to fucking, no one wants to hear that fucking podcast.
I love the this is the show.
Yeah, no, this is it.
Remember back in the day, and by back in the day, it was like 5-6 years ago, I was like, oh, that should be in your act. And now everything is a goddamn podcast or a web series. Like, oh, I stubbed my toe, and then somehow my elbow started bleeding. That's your web series. That's your show.
You're the stub guy. You stub your toe every day.
And a different body part bleeds.
Yeah.
You hear about the Office podcast?
No.
I shit you not. Pam and Angela are literally doing a podcast where each week they break
the
down
the two worst characters.
They break down an episode of The Office, the show they were on.
Are they in character?
The only reason if they're in character, get that podcast out of my fucking
face. I think
they're
starting.
But if that the
people
only
are
reason,
doing that,
but that podcast only works because I want to hear like who was fun on the set that day. Who? Oh, you have a cool story about that episode. I mean, I don't know. We've gotten off. We're off the rails. I will say this though. You go to someone that you would have a podcast with that would talk this out with you in the way that we're talking out here and have a talk about it. Get it out of your system. Say the things you can't say to your mom. Say the things. and he tickled my ass and I really liked it when he tickled my ass while he went down on me. Like, have those things so you can say the good, the bad, and the ugly so that you, because when you get snuck up with on a breakup, when you feel comfortable in a relationship and someone comes to you and goes, I just wasn't there with you. It feels like you were in a delusional state. So you need to get, I think the best times to talk to someone is when you feel delusional and you go, am I crazy? And they go, no, you're not crazy here,
but
you're crazy there. Mm-hmm. And it was never really that. You need perspective. And that's why this podcast exists. That's why people come here. But I think when you go to a friend and you take out all the bullshit, that's such a helpful thing. Be sad about it. She said she muted the guy. I would unsubscribe. I know it seems harsh, but get the fuck out.
Get out.
Get out of the building. It's burning down. You don't need to feed.
Get
him
out of here.
Get him out of here.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. You don't need to be in the house.
Get out of here.
You don't need to be in the house when the structure breaks. And when the structure breaks is when he finds a new girl and you get curious. And because he's in your muted story, you can still search him. And you go, well, what's he doing today? I'm feeling down. And then you see the story is him with another girl that looks exactly like you. And you're like, oh, my God. Now you're re-going through it.
Let me clean up this blood from all the knife that just went in.
Yeah. And it's like, I think those are very good tips and ways that I've been helped through tough times is to talk with someone you would start a podcast with. I think that's like a because I don't know what else I could really say to someone going through a breakup because I can't tell you how to feel. I can't, and I can also say if it ended for a reason. That's the one thing I also say.
And always remember that.
Yes.
And it's hard to convince yourself that.
Because he might come back and go, No. It is very, very difficult. Respect the difficulty of ending something. Respect that difficulty because when you come back to it, you're going to go, well, things were good. It was actually... No. He decided to do surgery without Novocaine. That's how hard it is.
Like he's a fucking Civil War doctor?
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine...
Hey, this won't hurt. Here, have a shot of gin and just start sawing a fucking leg.
That's what a breakup is.
We are sponsored, people. Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about learning healthier habits and feeling better about yourself, whether that's more stamina to keep up with your busy life, finally getting into those gold jeans, being more in tune with your body's needs, or practicing more self-care. This is Noom, okay, people? What I love about Noom And what I love about the app is that what we're doing isn't working. I have to say this to myself all the time. What you're doing, what you think is healthy. Oh, I got whole wheat bread. Oh, we've all convinced ourselves of what is healthy and how to be healthier. And we're flying by the seat of our pants. None of us know what we're doing, but we're all convinced that whatever strategy we're doing is the right one. But Noom is about teaching you the healthy habits that are proven by science, that are proven by professionals, and giving you a little pinch in your side to let you know that today is the day. Hey, still got to be healthy. That's what I love about Noom. It's always popping up on your phone. It's your annoying little friend that's like, hey, 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 you can't eat all that crap. Hey, 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 go weigh in. Go now. That's what all of us need, because as you get older, there's less people in your life that are kind of nagging you. Let Noom be the nag. That should be their catchphrase, because it is. It's an annoying friend that's into health that goes, hey, you haven't walked. Come on. That's what Noom is. Noom is a habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses based in psychology. This is a big deal. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do. This also has to do with this podcast. People are like, oh, you give dating advice? No, no, no. I'm giving perspective. I'm giving you the why. People don't want to hear, dump him. Fuck her. No, 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 no. They want to hear, well, yeah, he did this because of that and because of this and because of that. That's what Noom is about. It's going to tell you why you do the things you do and arms you with the tools to break the bad habits and replace them with better ones. They say it's based on cognitive behavioral approach. I say it just works, okay? It's not a diet. It's a healthy, easy to stick to way of life, okay? You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/JTrain, okay? There's really no reason to not do this. You're sitting there. If you're sitting there happy with your body, get out of my life. I kid, but I'm saying most of us, you know, want to make a little change. Most of us aren't, you know, we're all, you know, the 600-pound life people, they're on TV. You are normal you, and I am normal me, and we think a lot alike. There's no reason not to get Noom to make a little bit of a change. Noom.com/JTrain. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/JTrain to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/JTrain, 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 the last weight loss program you'll need. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with James Mattern, @JamesLMattern. No segues. Go right now. If you haven't paused yet and looked up James on Spotify or Apple iTunes or wherever you get music, you're an asshole. You're a dick. Because I need you to go stream it now. Here's the thing about these comedy albums, too. What people don't realize is that you listen for free, but the artist gets paid every time you listen.
Baby, I get a little ching, ching, ching.
That's right. So you got to ring the register. Without
ring it
even,
for me, baby.
You don't even have to purchase anything to help an artist like James.
Just leave it on Spotify all day when you're doing other stuff.
On replay.
That's it.
Luxury Problem, Destination Bachelor Parties versus My Travel Plans. I
ooh,
love this scene.
Come on.
Love the title. J Train, Feather, Feather. I'm a 29-year-old guy living in New York. I have a wide set of friends from different circles. The last 2 years have been filled with bachelor parties and out-of-town weddings of all sizes and budgets. I'm happy to spend vacation days and money for fun trips to celebrate my friends, but I'm finding that it is taking away from resources for trips that I want to take. I was recently asked to be in a wedding for a friend from college. He lives in Philly while we get together maybe once a year, but I would not consider him a very close friend anymore. Of course, I said I would be in the wedding, but he also asked that I help plan his bachelor party that he wants for a long weekend at a beach town of our choosing, but he does not want it to be close in Jersey. His wedding is on a Friday, which means I will need to take the day off and potentially
Thursday for rehearsal and other things. In addition, I also have other weddings that I am invited to that are out of town. I'm not in a relationship, and even if when I do get married, I will not be having a large wedding or do the destination bachelor party, so it's not like I will see any of this come back. Not that that's why I go to these events anyways. I understand what he's saying. Do I suck it up and wait until the wedding craze ends to start being able to take vacations that I want? Or is it time for me to say I need to sit out of this? Other bachelor parties, I don't want to hurt feelings by saying I can't afford the time and money for a party like that, and at the same time have them see pictures of me backpacking through Southeast Asia. Would love to hear your thoughts. What do you think? This is tough.
It's an interesting thing.
This is the podcast for luxury issues. This is why I love this email. Everything he said and wrote is a fabulously written email.
Outstanding.
It's a fabulous perspective. It is open, aware. It's everything I want from this podcast and an email. Thank you. Yeah. Give it up for this guy. Give it up for this guy. Because, listen, I hear it. You don't got endless amounts of cash.
No, who does?
No one has endless amounts of time.
No.
You want to take a trip to Southeast Asia, and you don't want to be judged for it. James, what do you got?
So, this is where being a comic is so great.
You have a built-in excuse.
It's unbelievable, especially when you're not blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't. I have to. I have to grind it out.
Yeah,
I have to work that weekend.
Sure.
I got out of so much shit.
Yeah.
It cost me a relationship back in the day, but what are you going to do? It cost to do
a business. Well, that is true for non-comics as well. It's going to cost you a couple relationships.
It's tough.
And here's the thing. Bobby Kelly has a great bit about how your friend group gets smaller as you get older.
Without a doubt.
That happens not just to anybody. It happens to everybody. My group of friends, I have people. If a guy from college called me right now, I would happily take the call, have the conversation, enjoy that they thought of me to call me for whatever it was. But that group of people that I see is way smaller than the ones that could call. So my life has been streamlined. There's less people that I see. Even there are close friends of mine that I probably haven't seen in like a year.
Yeah.
And we kind of keep up over Instagram, and when people start having babies and getting married, like that's where their time goes. It's not. And this is twofold. This is to tell him that it's okay to say no to a wedding. It's okay. And it's okay to say no to a wedding for no reason at all. I can't make it that weekend. Why? I got a lot of work stuff, and I really just can't make it that weekend. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's okay to say no to a wedding. And you know how okay it is? People with weddings are building in numbers of people who will say no. So that's how little they care about you coming. You're just a number. They care so little that they invited you knowing that 20% of you won't come. So you could be in the 20%. You can be in that great party of people that didn't have to get off the couch. So this is also to say that you're not going to have a lot of time to go to Southeast Asia in a few years. Southeast Asia is fucking gone soon.
That's going to be underwater.
It's going to be.
You're going to have to take a raft.
Well, it's going
to
be under the water of your life.
Yeah.
Because 38-year-olds with babies, with a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, aren't backpacking in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
If I poll the backpackers, guess who's not there? Guess who likes to travel? Guess who likes to travel traveling is one of their hobbies until they have a kid? Everyone on Tinder and on Bumble.
It's interesting. Yeah, you have till you have your first kid to do those things.
Yeah.
And then, God willing, you retire and get the kids out and you have a little money. That's when people travel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That middle, bye-bye.
Yeah, Southeast Asia is full of 20-year-olds and 70-year-olds.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Bye-bye, Mykonos.
Bye-bye, Mykonos. Bye-bye, Tulum.
You're out.
Au revoir, Cartagena. Ooh. It's out.
Your enunciation's next level.
Goodbye, Reykjavik. It's over. So you got 20-year-olds and 80-year-olds. 20-year-olds on 20-year-olds with backpacks, 80-year-olds with oxygen tanks. Those are the people in those fun Instagrammable towns. Yeah. And listen,
we are here in Algarve, Portugal.
Algarve.
And it feels great.
Goodbye, Algarve. I didn't even say
hello to Algarve.
No,
I didn't know it existed.
I only saw it on The Bachelor. This is why, and some of you are like, well, no, I'm going to be. No. You're not. I'm sorry. Vacation's over. Time for life. And some of you might have the money. Like, I'm not saying you don't. I'm not going to count the money in your wallet. Some of you might be lucky enough to do these things, but it's because you're fucking lucky. Most people, the center part of the graph, when they're 40 with a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, or they're 40 with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, they're on here's the trips they take. It's a pain in the fucking ass trip with a kid on their lap on
Orlando.
The plane to Orlando. To shithole
Anaheim.
USA.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be in Orlando October for the U Up Lives.
Good.
As Ben Higgins mentioned. But
I'm going to adopt an 8-year-old and come to your show,
and then
you're going to meet up with us and go to Pirates of the Caribbean, baby.
Let me give some insider information. The Orlando show for U Up and the Nashville show for U Up, we've booked the guests.
Yeah.
You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to be there.
I'm going to be in the South.
You're going to want to be there.
I might fly out to Nashville and hang out with you.
GETS gets. So here. So this is
an inning you won't see coming.
You won't see it coming. So this is what this is all to say to this guy. Say no to more weddings, as I think after 20 and also, but here's the other thing you have to keep in mind. With less weddings comes less chances to get together with these people that you do like. So you have to understand that if we're going to make it selfish, the weddings are a chance for you to see people that you won't see again. But they're also taking away from the trip to Southeast Asia. So that's the choice you're making.
Yeah.
Because you're like, no, I'll see my friends forever. No.
You will not.
Your friends in Southeast Asia go away in your 30s. They start to strip away.
So you have to pick.
You got to pick. What's more important to you?
What do you want to get in? It sounds like he has a bunch.
Yeah.
So when they're all, look, you're going to still bump in these cats.
Yeah, so I think.
You can't do like 5 in a year.
You got to.
Like, enough's enough.
I think 3 weddings in a year is enough.
Tap out.
I think at 29.
That's the salary cap.
That's
it. It's a hard cap.
And then you get your one vacation. Yeah. And it's like for this guy, he's asking about a very specific situation where he's asked to plan the bachelor party. I would go to the friend. He's asked to plan a bachelor party at a beach that's not Jersey. And I would go, hey, man, I've been thinking about long weekends and weekends we can do it. I kind of asked around. What I would do is lie to the friend. I asked around the bachelor party. Everyone's kind of coming back to me being like, they want to do like Jersey Shore, Delaware. And if you want to get out of Jersey, go to Delaware. The Delaware Shore, go to Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland. That's a great bachelor party location. I did one there. Go to Ocean City, Maryland, if he doesn't want to be in Jersey.
Is that where the floor is sand?
The floor is sand, and they also have a dance floor that bounces. And then they have this little bay that is full of piss and shit, and everyone's drinking in it. It's great.
Excuse me?
It's just a shit bay. So,
boy, you're doing a good hard sell on that. Hey, go where the shit bay is, baby.
I'm saying this guy has to realize that he is, you know, I would go to the friend and be like, hey, here are the other options. We're not flying. Drivable. New England, Ocean City, Maryland, Jersey. You take your choice. I asked around the group. That's kind of what everyone wants to do. Also, everyone doesn't want to do a long weekend, so we want to do this weekend. Here are 3 choices. And if he wants to put you in charge, now that's the person in charge. If he goes, I don't know about that, you go, hey, man, I'm working on this. I don't know what else you want me to say.
It always seems like with women, the wedding is their Super Bowl or their World Cup. It all builds to that culmination. They want everything perfect. They want doves to shit flowers and all that the minute the music plays. Dudes, I've never seen it before like this, but of late, the bachelor party has become the dude's Super Bowl in life. And he's convinced himself that it's going to be his only one, even though he's going to get married 8 more times. Like
my friend got a divorce, and I just got invited to his second away bachelor party.
Yeah, I mean, no. You lose your rights at that point.
Yeah. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
There's no more road games after that. It's home games.
Yeah, I should be able to roll off my couch into your bachelor party.
But now it's like, we have to fly.
It's the whole thing.
Everyone's going to Montreal for fucking 3 days.
I just don't know where everyone got money. Everyone's doing well.
Everyone's doing great.
Everyone's doing great.
We are sponsored people. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. I listen, a suit off the rack is made for the rack. They made it for the fit models. I don't know if you guys know anybody that does this type of stuff, but I've met over the course of my life, and model makes it sound like, oh, they're all hot. No. They have these things called fit models that are body types to fit clothes around. And guess what? It's not you, okay? Indochino makes you the fit model. What makes it look good on your chest, makes it look good on your waist, makes it look good on your butt. Here's the thing. I'm a short torsoed, wide-bodied guy. They ain't making the suits for me. That's why I love Indochino, okay? Because they're going to make it directly for your body, okay? To your tastes. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. And everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. If you're a lady listening, this is such a fantastic gift. I'm telling you right now, your dad, your brother, your boyfriend, the guy you're seeing, whatever it is, we're coming up on the holiday season. Get ahead. I mean, get it for them now so they're wearing it to Hanukkah dinner. That's the move. And you get personalized all the details, including your lapel lining and your own monogram. That's fun. Come on, people. And every guy needs a good-looking suit. You choose your fabric, pick your customizations, submit your measurements. Your package will be delivered straight to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom, so you can even make a day of it. Hey, let's go to the showroom. We'll get your measurements. I'll take you to lunch. 2 weeks later, you got a suit. Or you can do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering JTrain at checkout. That's JTrain, JTrain, JTrain. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code JTrain for $30 off your purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. Listen, you're not walking into the tailor, you know, Giuseppe ain't taking you for under $1,000, okay? Indochino is going to take you. $30 off a purchase of $399 or more. That's a suit that ain't no, this is a high-end type of deal. You're going to wear it. You're going to love it. It's going to look good. Get it now. Treat the person in your life. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit.
We're here with James Mattern James L. Mattern. No segue. That's the album. Go get it now. How often should I text 3 months in?
That's a great point.
JTrain, big fan of the show. I have implemented your dating advice numerous times, gotten great results. Way better the advice than the girlfriends give. You rock. Don't ever change. Now to my question. I've been seeing a guy or whatever you want to call it for about 3 to 4 months now. In the beginning, he would blow up my phone texting daily, lots of good morning, hope you're having a great day text, and calling about once a week. However, once we hit 2 to 3 months, that slowed. Now we can only call occasionally to catch up on our weeks. It's been a while since we've seen each other or text to make plans. Occasionally a little banter here and there, but neither of us are big casual texters in general because we both have busy jobs, lots of hobbies, so we keep that to a minimum. We are currently in the stage of dating where we are introducing each other to. She wrote, now we only call occasionally to catch up on our weeks if it's been a while since we've seen each other. Okay. We are currently in the stage of dating where we're introducing each other to the friends and inviting each other to weekend trips, so I don't believe that texting calling has dwindled down because he's slow fading me, because he wouldn't be taking those next steps unless there was serious, right? Yeah, I wouldn't think so, especially since if I ever initiate a call or text, he replies in a timely fashion. I like to believe that our texting calling has slowed down simply because we're getting into a normal routine. It's not just sustainable text good morning every day, right? The question is, do your texting calling habits typically change the longer you've been dating someone, or should he be texting calling me as frequently as he did in month one of dating if he was truly interested in me as a serious relationship? What do you think?
I think this is thinking too much, and we all do it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've done that. And ironically, I have discussed similar stuff like this in the past with you. Just enjoy it. Just go. First of all, I would go banana if a girl texted me every day, good morning. I would honestly come close to throwing the phone through the fucking window.
The good morning text is a lie.
Yuck.
Let's just
hate it.
Let's just get that out there.
Hate it.
Good morning text.
How was your morning? The same as everyone.
The only reason he texted you good morning was because he wanted you to say goodnight to his penis.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only reason. So he wasn't texting good morning because
goodnight,
that's
penis.
His thing. Goodnight, penis. Good morning. Goodnight, penis. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
You know, put the penis to sleep.
Yeah, that's it.
So the good morning text is a lie. If anyone's sending that to you right now, lying. If they're doing it, because it's such a bullshit. The good morning text is such a bullshit thing.
It seems like old-timey shit. Like a prince when he's courting someone would
morning.
Send like a dove with a note. Good morning, my love. I can't wait to see you later with fresh cherries. Like some horse shit.
Yeah, it's horse shit.
Yeah.
It is, and it's guys trying to sound like gentlemen when they're not gentlemen.
Good night, penis.
Good night. Say goodnight to my penis.
I think that's a great new T-shirt for you.
Good morning.
Good night.
Good morning. Texts are for goodnight penis.
It's for goodnight penis.
So the only reason he was doing that was to convince you that he was a nice guy and a gentleman.
Yeah.
Which he did, and now the bullshit has wiped away from the screen. Now that that's gone. You say, I agree with you. This isn't a big deal. You're setting into the normal. As long as you have plans and as long as he's getting back to you and this is all good. What was the advice I gave you?
Well, years ago with somebody, I was showing Jared the the text, and at that point, I was chasing it. I was putting too much effort, and
yes,
she would write like a line.
This relates to what she's saying, because You were kind of seeing someone,
yes.
And the text, she would write one thing, and then you were like,
I would write three, or I would put a bunch of paragraphs and sentences, and Jared just simply, before even analyzing and reading it.
You go, what do you think of this interaction?
And before he even reads one word.
I look at the screen.
Lots of blue. I was putting too much. And I do say that to other people now.
That.
I go,
that's
look,
a
dude,
lot
that's
of blue.
A lot. I will tell that to people. I'm like, yo, man, that's a lot of blue.
Yeah.
You got to think about that. If you're writing
it's
novels
a lot
and,
of blue.
And they're giving you a sentence.
Yeah.
Take it back or think, dude, nothing's better than getting that LOL with nothing else or the one word. Put the mic down. Put the mic down. Go to the green
it's
room and hang out
blue.
A while.
You don't want to drown in the Atlantic. You need to see some land. It's like a bird.
Yes.
A bird never flies too far away from an island.
Yes.
If it's
one of your boys, someone you chill with, a friend,
you,
sometimes they just forget. You can add
you
other
gotta
things.
You got to see some gray so that you don't drown.
It's another friend of mine, my friend Dustin, years ago told me that when you're texting like someone into a relationship, it's like a tennis match, right?
Yeah, pop, pop,
pop,
pop,
pop,
pop,
pop. Don't hit
pop,
the fucking
pop.
Net.
Don't. So and
stay
so,
out of the net, baby.
So the change in texting, and this is kind of what I'm getting at, as you start going, it's not that you're texting more or less. It's that you're texting more like yourself. So that's the big change. Be who you is. So it's not that we're saying, I'm not saying to you, you should text this amount, you should be texting that amount, or he should be texting. What I liked from her email is he always responds, he's there for me. But are you being more you? Are you texting the thing that is close? Are you closer to conversational you and farther away from good morning you? So that's what you have to, and that means you're getting more entrenched with someone.
Yeah.
If we're going to speak in text terms. So to me, this is fine. It's less, but you're having hangouts. But ask yourself the question, are you being more you? That's what needs to happen. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with James Mattern. at James L. Mattern on Instagram. The album, no segue. Let's do another email. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it. No segue. No segue. Is third date ghosting a thing? Jared, I recently started listening to your podcast and a huge fan. I previously listened to the You Up and now have made my way to the J Train. Thank you. I need some advice because I feel like I'm constantly running into the same situation. I met a guy about a month ago at a wedding, mutual friend's wedding. He came up to me, got my number. We went on a date next week. Fast forward to our third date recently, slept together, went great. We slept together on our second date, FYI. We chatted that weekend, then boom, haven't heard from him in a week. All of our conversations were super engaged. We had a good time. Why do guys lose interest? Did he lose interest? Lastly, should I have stated what we both were looking for right away? I'm also 29 and he is 25. Just some feedback so I maybe can adjust my expectations in the future. What do you think?
So I think it's kind of like a restaurant sometimes, right?
Okay.
The first time you go, you hear all the hype, you're excited to eat
sure.
there. You can't process if you enjoyed the ambiance. You can't process
Love
the
this.
Meal if it was good. So you go back again mm-hmm. to get the full opinion.
Sure.
And at that point, you might realize it's not for me, that this
yeah.
place isn't for me.
Yeah.
And or it was good for that, but I don't need to go eat there for a while.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
happens. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. But just they got their fill of that experience.
It's way.
And now there's another experience they want to go. They don't want to eat Thai anymore. They want to just go get a greasy burger, and you're not providing a burger.
This is very male experience driven, what yeah. James is saying, because I agree with it completely. If you're a woman listening, you might be going, well, that's not my experience. But listen.
This is some dude
this
shit.
This is this dude shit
yeah,
that you come
shit.
Here for. And that is an experience that this guy that she went on dates with and fucked and he disappeared, he's nodding along with us. It's not from our end.
It's what it is.
I'm not going to speak to the woman's side of
yeah.
things. I can't tell you how to feel. But from the male end, take some whatever comfort you can get from knowing how impersonal this was and how it's not about you, it's the match. And it's not about you're not good, great, or wonderful. It's about, yeah, I went. It was good. I'm kind of looking for something else, but I really enjoyed that restaurant. I totally agree.
Look at it in the positive that you had two good times, and that's if you never met this dude, you wouldn't
yeah.
have had those two good times. Look at it that way, that those are a plus, not a minus, that there's not a third or something else after
well,
that.
Well, this is the other thing, and this is the thing that I think women – if I was like a lot of she's wrote she had sex the second I she's going to relate the sexual experience to whether he liked her or not. It's way less about that than she wants to let any of us. It's the sex was what he came there for, and the match is what he thought he might stay for, you know, like it's like, and it sucks to hear because we come in dick first.
Dick first.
And she's coming in going, what I need from her, and it's a learning experience, and it's tough to, you know, you got to learn it. What's your relationship with sex? Did you have a good time having, would you, if you could go back, would you have not have had sex knowing what you know now? And that's kind of, because she asked.
And it's okay.
Some feedback or how I can maybe adjust my expectations in the future. That's the feedback I'm giving you is everyone has their different relationship with sex. You know, some people, if you have sex with me now, I want to, you know, I want to stay at this restaurant. I want to be, this is my kitchen now. You know, if you're sitting there going, sex was great, I had a good time. Yeah, it sucks it didn't work out. Then you handle, then good for you. You got yours. But if you walked away going, I thought sex would have kept him here longer. That will never happen.
No. Not every customer goes in wanting to become a repeat customer.
Mm.
Some people just want to, Tuesday I'm eating here, one day maybe I'll go back, but Wednesday I'm eating here.
Yeah.
That's how some people, and I know that's viewed as wrong or whoring about or
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But some people are wired that way. I'm not good with relationships.
Yeah.
I was a late bloomer. I kind of like having fun and bouncing about and see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's who I am, and it's not personal, it's my business. It's just how I handle shit.
It's like if we go back to the restaurant thing, if you at the end just start giving free desserts to everybody.
Yeah.
And you're doing that expecting the free dessert will get them to come back, you're fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to lose a lot of desserts.
You are.
I would say.
Boy, the cost is going to go skyrocket,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, give out a dessert because you like the customer and you wanted to give them a dessert.
Here's some bread pudding.
Not because you were going to get something back in return. Because people will sit at your restaurant. You'll get people coming in just for the desserts. You'll get people that are like, yeah, I'll have the bread. Don't you guys do a dessert thing here? Do you know what I mean?
Good morning, creme brulee.
Yeah.
Good night, penis.
This is all about the relationship we have with sex, because she references sex. This is why we're bringing it up. You're 29. You went out with a 25-year-old guy, okay? The 25-year-old guy, I'm going to bet, because what every guy says when, in like, she's like, could I have gotten out in front of it? Every guy says the same thing. They go, yeah, of course I want to be in a relationship, but I want to like see what happens. And, you know, like they go, yeah, but I want to like, what are you looking for? Well, I'm looking like, you know, go out with someone and have fun and, you know, maybe a relationship. But it's like the maybe relationship is so far down the road for them.
God. It is absolutely far.
So I understand where she's like getting upset. She's like, how do I get rid of this third date thing? The other thing about it is the third date, guys know the numbers now. We're aware. The machine has become aware, self-aware. We know that you're like, first date, I get to know you. Second date, I get to trust you. Third date, I get to fuck you.
This is like baseball. It's advanced statistics.
Advanced metrics.
It's sabermetrics.
Yeah, this, we know. But this is true. Like, if you're at the third date, so that's why, you know, it goes both ways. A lot of girls will be like, yeah, we went on three dates and he disappeared and he doesn't want to go out again. We haven't had sex. It's like, yeah, he doesn't want to go out again because he knows fourth date sex means that he's saying he wants to be something more. This is Moneyball.
That should be a new stat.
Money dates. Money nuts.
D-A, D-A three. Dates after third.
Dates after third.
Dates after third count.
That's
towards
funny.
A relationship.
Yeah. Dates after third, we know.
Yeah.
So
how long you been going out? We've had currently 8 DA3s.
If a girl...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's
serious.
It. He's your boyfriend now.
But if you're at a show hosting, like you and I both host,
yeah.
If someone's in the front row and we go, how long you guys been together? Oh, this is our third date. Oh, shit.
A lot of pressure.
The whole crowd. Everyone in the crowd. If you go...
People
oh,
lean back.
People lean back
when
they go,
hear that. Oh!
Oh! Third date. Third date, and sometimes you'll be like, oh, blow no fuck, right? And then they look at you like, what? How'd they know? You know, so this is something, I don't know if this is helpful. we've given a lot of, you know, metaphors here, but I think the restaurant one helps, and the dessert thing is like, you know, if you're own a restaurant, you give someone a dessert, it's because you wanted to genuinely, you thought they were a good customer. And you felt good about giving it to them. I wouldn't give dessert out to get to have a repeat customer because no one's going to do that.
Yeah.
And new people will show up for that dessert.
New people show up for dessert.
We are sponsored people. Quip, 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 quip. I was a customer of Quip before they signed on with the podcast. I love the idea of never having to think, how long has my toothbrush been in this little toothbrush holder? I love that. Take it out of your mind. The stress is gone. Do you know how many days I was sitting here stressing about my toothbrush? Not anymore. Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. That's another thing. Quip comes with this like little tiny guide where it's like, there's an age where you age out of toothbrushing questions. You, at the age of 15... you're automatically just not allowed to ask about brushing your teeth. Do it in the morning, do it at night, that's it. You can't go, well, counterclockwise, how long? No, you're an adult now. Stop asking questions. Get to the coal mine. You're done asking toothbrush questions. That's why Quip is great. They send you a little packet. They have a timer that tells you it'll time each quadrant of your mouth. And it's just one of those things, like, I didn't think of, like, how much toothpaste to use. That's another thing. Quip was like, hey, you're using too much. You can use a little pea size. And you're like, whoa, thanks, Papa Quip. Quip has made your brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and, yes, even more enjoyable. Most people brush too hard. With Quip, you can scrub your chompers with sensitive sonic vibration. It's gentle on your sensitive gums. And most people don't brush evenly. They only focus on one part of their mouth. But this toothbrush has a built-in timer. This is what I'm talking about. That pulses every 30 seconds. And I will tell you this. The minute you get a Quip and it starts pulsing those 30 seconds, so it does, it'll do four pulses, then turn off on its own, okay? You try and do the 30 second and then realize how little you've brushed your teeth in your life. If you're getting done with the 30 second pulses on each quadrant and you go, hey, I usually go longer, DM me because I can't believe that for a second. Quip is just keeping you on your game. And they deliver new brush heads to you on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. That's what I'm talking about. I love that. Right to your door. Hey, Jared, throw it away. Here's the newbie. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. It has thousands of verified five-star reviews. Okay, so it's legit. It's also cool looking and sleek. I mean, that's not important to me. I don't walk around bragging about how cool my toothbrush looks. But listen, whatever gets you there. That's why I love Quip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. That's the stat I'm going to bring up. Hey, what's up with your toothbrush? Oh, it looks cool. I got a Ferrari toothbrush. No. Backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. That's what I'm talking about. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/JTrain, that's GETQUIP.com/JTrain, getquip.com/JTrain right now, you get your first refill pack for, let me say it, free! With a Quip electric toothbrush, that's right. Get your first refill pack free at getquip.com/JTrain. GETQIP.com/JTrain and brush like an adult. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do one more email, then we'll do some news.
Okay.
One more email.
I'll give you the choice. Long distance to break up. Late summer flinger cuffing season, defining casual, friends without benefits, so men don't always want to hook up, DM slide, did my A+ BJ get worse? Would you rather? Any of these speaking to you?
I mean, we've been friends for a long time.
Sure.
Based on what you know of me, which one of those do you think I
did
was going
to? Did my A+ BJ?
Of course, my friend. Also, my poker face was not. I really showed a tell right there. As you
I am
said
not
it.
Trying to pat myself on the back here. Okay, humble brag maybe, but I'm a 24. I am 24, and the past few guys I've been with over the years have said that I give one of the best blowjobs they've ever had. Good work.
See, the lottery pick.
Yeah.
And I got to his office fully prepared to suck his dick.
If they are just telling me for that, fine. But I've always thought it to be a skill that I don't mind sharing. However, I am recently with a guy dating for a few months, and the sex has been great. But every time I go down on him, he interrupts me about 2 to 3 minutes in and pulls me up to continue the hookup. Is this a thing? What guy doesn't want to just continue on with these blowjobs? Did my A+ BJ skills get lowered, or is this just a common thing that maybe he wants to hook up and do other things rather than simply have a BJ? Didn't think guys were like that, as literally nobody I've been with before has ever stopped me midway. Would love your thoughts. What do you think?
No, so this is a testament to how great your BJ is. So
I'm with you.
When you start going, guys, I don't not like blowjobs, but I want to get to them. Let's go restaurant again. Dude, the calamari's great, but I'm paying for the steak. I want to have sex. That's what I'm into. But now when you start hooking up, right?
You don't want to eat too much calamari.
Yes,
bread and all that shit. To ruin the steak.
That's it. So, because here's the thing. So when you start going out with someone and the girl gives you a great blowjob, you ride that out and you might finish because you don't know if you're going to have sex. That might be the main event, so you should embrace it. But once you're already having sex, it's like, that was great. You got me going. Now let's get to the main event.
That I completely agree with you.
And you're too good. You might pop him and he might be gone for a while.
There's two types of guys.
Yeah.
There's guys that are there to get blown and guys that are there to fuck, have a good fuck.
There is two different people, yes.
And the guys that are there to get blown, and there's a reason that they're guys in your past because they didn't really care about you that much. Okay? I'm not trying to connect how he care. I shouldn't say that because I don't want to make people believe that because a guy doesn't let you finish, you know, blow him to fruition, he loves you. Yeah. I'm not saying that. But this guy cares about getting you off, which I've been in this position. I'm getting a blowjob. I love a blowjob. Let me repeat myself. I love a blowjob. Okay? That's right. Love it, love it, love it. I would caress a blowjob, hold it in my hand, put my cheek against it.
I am a young, vibrant man.
I am a young, vibrant man.
Good morning, blowjob.
Good morning, blowjob. Good night, penis. So that's, well, this is the thing. Good night, penis relates to this because you come from a blowjob. I sit there like a dead carcass afterwards. It's over.
It's all over.
The
baby
game, girl. The show is over. Yeah. We've shot the gun. I got no more bullets. It's
but
done.
The show must go on.
But that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why he's lifting you in. That's why he's patting you on the arm like you're a right hander that he needs to come in the eighth.
Inner Sandman's playing.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's saying to you, I love this blowjob, but I want us both to be in on the party. And I know if you go a minute fucking longer because you have an A-plus blowy game, I'm going to fucking end this show.
Game, set, match.
I don't want to end the show. So let that happen. I mean, and that's not to say you can go to him, stiff arm him. You can, I've had this happen with, you know, in my relationships where you're getting blown. I'm like, hey, get up here. Let's fucking do this. And it's like, no. Ease your head. Ease your head, child. It's your night. It's your night. Enjoy. Enjoy. And it's like, you can go both ways. You can reach up and go, easy, child. I'm going to.
Nothing like easy, child, before a blowjob.
Oh. You mean this is my night? And they go, lay your kepi. And that's you coming. So it doesn't. That's me coming. So that's the point, is when he pulls you up, that's for him saying, I want us both to be in on this.
Yeah.
If you give him the, no, ease your head, child, that's you saying, I'm going to go through the whole thing because I want to do this. But do what you want to do, but I'm saying, this is someone that is looking to have the sexual experience with. I'm totally on board. This is a guy who doesn't want to end the show. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. James Mattern, thank you for coming on.
I had a blast, buddy. Thank
at
you so much.
James L. Mattern. No Segues is the podcast. Shelby, let's do a couple news stories.
You were annoyed famously by a Great Dane on a plane, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a Great Dane on a flight of mine, and I talk about it on stage. Tough. Yeah. It's gotten out of control. The thing is with these dogs is like, you know, you see a Great Dane. His name is Colonel. He's like a famous Great Dane. So he has a following. You know, have you seen these?
That is a great Great Dane name, Colonel. Of course it is.
Fuck Colonel.
You just can't be like Booster if you're a Great Dane.
Do you think that's ridiculous? Like
to bring on a plane? Yes, there's nowhere to move already. Well, you bring that
this
fucking
the thing.
Thing.
Like it becomes this like politicized thing where it's like, and I don't agree with the people that are like fuck dogs on plane. Like I get it. If you want your little poodle, no. Like if you have an appropriately sized dog, and you're petting it on the plane, I get it. That makes you feel better.
Appropriate size is the key.
That's the thing. That it's an all or nothing play. That's when people start taking advantage. Like. I'm trying to think of another scenario. Like I can't just like walk in, you know, I can't, there's rules that live in gray areas of life.
Yeah.
You can be 5'5" to get on the roller coaster. Why doesn't that exist for the dogs?
Well,
yeah.
How would you feel about this? Somebody brought a damn mini horse on a plane.
Well, this is the natural progression. This was natural because the minute you start, you know, the minute we put feelings over common sense is the minute that shit gets out of control. So the minute you start saying, well, I get anxiety. You don't care about everything's, you know, If you have crippling anxiety, you think a horse,
how's the horse make it
in
better?
A confined place is making that better?
Do you get peace when the horse shits on row six?
What if they are allergic? What if someone's allergic? Why do you not? Why is it all about you?
Yeah.
Abria Hensley.
What a name of someone who would bring a horse.
Of course, that's someone who would have
Abria.
Her 7-year-old, 135-pound mini horse named Flirty.
Can I just say this, Shelby, to that name? Say that name again.
Flirty.
Yuck.
Yeah, it's a bad name.
For a
name.
Fucking horse?
Flirty.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Flirty.
Brings yeah. The mare, because it reminds her to take her medication and provide support when she becomes overwhelmed, who is allergic to dogs, and she also has PTSD.
See,
allegedly.
These the PTSD, and listen, is she a service person? Was she in war?
Doesn't say.
See, PTSD is one of those things that you can bring up that becomes the shield.
Yeah, and it's being used for things beyond what it used to be, honest.
This is the thing. She, and this is, and you might be like, well, don't be mean to people with PTSD. No. I'm trying to protect the people with PTSD. For her to say the only way through this is a horse is kind of, you're degrading people with that problem.
Actually been through war and have actual problems.
So because when you say I have PTSD, people back away.
Yes.
They go, I'm not going to be the person, I'm not anti-PTSD. Do you know what I mean? Like even us talking about it on the safest podcast to talk about it, I'm still going, I still have to say, well, I'm not. Because here's the problem. And I see it when I put a joke on Instagram. We're in a room full of everyone now. So you don't have to have any smarts. You could be a 13-year-old who goes, oh, you hate people with PTSD? And you go, get the fuck out of the conversation.
The horse does have an Instagram. And judging, I don't believe her. The owner is a service woman. She looks like she enjoys a bite to eat.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you get out of the
you
get out of the seas. Sometimes things happen.
I will say though,
once you get to shore, you eat a little.
But this is what happens when you put emotion over practicality, emotion over reasonability. And you know what? I'm the one who has to pay for it because she flies once a year and then expects me to. And I'm flying every week, and I got to deal with the shit.
Yeah.
Let's do the next story.
Well, we don't really get political on this show.
Yeah, we're not very political, but you know, we talk about, I think we're more of an issues-based podcast than a political podcast, yep.
But one, I figure that this kind of, it's you guys are both comedians, joke professors.
Love a good joke,
yes.
Yep.
So I feel like you'd...
Jokeologists.
You'd lend your opinion to... some material from presidential hopeful Amy Klobuchar.
Okay, so Amy Klobuchar she's running for president? Okay, what do we have a background or any? What is
she's a Democrat.
Okay,
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Okay,
right when she announced, she got a lot of flack because she's famous for being a very mean boss.
Okay,
she shot shit.
She threw a binder at somebody's head before.
We could use that. I don't know. I'd like to throw a binder at an emotional support mini horse. So what do we think?
I'll play some audio.
So she did some stand-up?
Well, I'll play some audio.
Okay.
You'll see for yourself here.
Tweet. He made fun of me for talking about climate change in the middle of a blizzard, and he called me Snow Woman. So I wrote back,
that joke
hey,
killed.
Donald Trump, the science is on my side, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. So I wrote back, hey, Donald Trump, the science is on my side, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard.
Hold on, for the listeners.
So I wrote back.
These are different rallies.
Doing the same joke.
Same joke.
Donald Trump. The science is on my side. And I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard.
Delivers it the same way every
Sometimes,
time.
Sometimes, if you haven't noticed, you use a little humor. Like when he called the snow woman at my announcement in the middle of that thing.
Oh, my God.
I wrote back on Twitter, I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. So I wrote back. Hey, Donald Trump. I tweeted back.
The science is on my side.
And I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard.
How many times did she do it?
Mr. Umbrella Man.
And he called me Snow Woman. So I wrote back, I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard.
So I love that clip because also it's funny because anyone could do this to a stand-up comic. Anyone could take, but sure. That's why stand-up is a more of a live thing. And, you know, like they're coming to her shows. She doesn't realize that all her shows are taped. So this is like if every set at the Cellar of mine was taped and put up and then put on a thing and me going. But what's funny to me about this, what do you think?
Well, this is old school politics before this media became what it was.
Sure.
If you don't
this
think
worked.
Lincoln did the same joke everywhere he was barnstorming,
this
but now
works.
You can't. But now.
Now you got to go on different podcasts and do different stories on all the different podcasts.
I mean, she's polling horrible anyway.
Yeah.
Based on that alone, I would never vote for her because she's not aware. She's so not self-aware. I don't want you to represent me. If you aren't smart enough to realize you're being filmed and you do the same joke every time.
Yuck. Trump is a master improviser. Say what you want. I have to say that now. But I'm saying Trump, did you notice one thing? Here's the thing we know as comics. Repeating your tweet never gets and I tweeted.
Yeah.
If it starts with and I tweeted, it's a bad joke.
You're done. You're an overcooked
steak. But the funniest part about that is Snow Woman gets a laugh every time.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even give it the line it should be given. And then she gets to her part of the joke and she like over enunciates and does a little like her body gets
involved. She oversells.
She's trying to sell it. She didn't have to sell Trump's joke, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Snow Woman, you heard in the first one, she goes, and he called me Snow Woman, and it gets a huge laugh.
It is a funny thing to call somebody.
And then she goes, so I tweeted back, and everyone's like,
yuck.
Ugh, well, we're already out.
Yeah.
So funny. And it is funny that this is the new age. You got to come with new stuff every time, and you can't go in going, so I'll do my Snow Woman thing, and then I'll, you know, like this isn't stand up, it's got to be improv.
This is one of the reasons why Trump is successful. And he's like an old school, he cuts like an old school wrestling promo. He has his bullet points, he promotes what he wants to, he keeps he goes to the hits, but he changes everything else around it.
He repeats himself, but in a more natural way.
And this is like the modern wrestling thing where it's a scripted thing and it's soulless and it just, you're saying the line.
It is. It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, it's like that thing that people make fun of now, but it is a real thing where it's like people vote based on who they get a beer with.
Absolutely.
And it's like, yeah, I think we do everything based on who we get a beer with.
And he doesn't even drink Trump. That's the hilarious thing about it.
But you know, I would have a person on the podcast that I would have a beer with. You know, I would, you know, so when I watch her going, and so I tweeted, I'd be like, get me out of the room with this person.
Would you want to watch a game with this person? It's kind of like that. Like if she's overwatching the game, Jesus Christ. Trump, like him or not, but he's probably going to make you laugh watching the fucking Falcons game.
Well, listen, there are things. My brother and I send each other just like videos of him doing shit. And it's like, it is so unbelievable. Like this is, again, not a politics podcast, but just like the idea, like the guy understands the room and set up punch. He does understand that. And she does not.
Does not. Not aware. It's not aware, just, unfortunately.
And also, you know what this does? You know, like, it's like, you know, with so many people running, it only, you know, she only makes the part, her side look bad, like an out to lunch. Like it just doesn't, I think she's less help than more running.
Sure.
So that's my two cents. Shelby, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me. Trump 2020.
At Classic Shelb, you can get in touch with him about his political stance. At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. James Madden, thank you for coming
on. Oh, man. J-Train, thank you so much. It's been a minute. This is your podcast is so great. I'm not just saying it because I'm here and you're my friend and I love you. This is so great what you do here. Your energy. I really...
Bring it.
I already came from the gym. I'm going to go back. You've motivated me to do more with my life. And Shelby brings the heat.
I still have to go. At James L. Mattern on Instagram. Go follow. The album is No Segues.
Get in your life, babies.
I'm Jared Fried. At Jared Fried on Instagram every Tuesday and Friday. Does Ben Higgins have my dates still? Because I'm going to be out there, and I'm coming to your city. You can go to jaredfried.com. I love when you guys come to shows. In addition to the dates Ben Higgins is going to give, I'm also in San Diego coming up in November, so that'll be fun. The U Up Live shows are also doing a Northeast run in November. That'll be, I mean, those are already selling very quickly. New York Town Hall for New York Comedy Festival, 1,500 people, special guests.
How great is that?
It's going to be fucking wild. Ben, where am I going?
Hey, this is Ben Higgins here, and I want to let you know that Jared will be coming to do stand-up in the following cities. Appleton, Wisconsin on 10-3 through 10-5. And on the U Up tour in Miami, Florida on 10-10. Orlando, Florida on 10-11. Atlanta, Georgia on 10-12. And Nashville on 10-13. Well, Jared, best of luck, man.
Thank you, Ben Higgins. We'll be back next episode. Boom.